Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When I was working through high school and college, I worked at a co-op grocery store. And I worked there for 9 years, and so I had a pretty good understanding of what to expect when I messed up, that I would go to my boss and he would usually ream me out or basically tell me what I did wrong, and I was kind of used to that. I kind of knew what to expect. I'll never forget the one time when I did something that was really bad, something that I thought was going to get me extra long session with my boss. And I prepared myself and I went in there, and with no advanced warning, he simply said, "I know you're sorry, don't do it again," and walked out. I'll never forget the feeling I had. One was of thankfulness, one was of amazement, and the other one was of, like, what just happened? And have you ever had that situation in your life where you thought you knew what was going to happen? Where you thought you knew what would happen, what would be the proper response for what you did or what you were going to say, and it comes out the opposite of what you expected? Have you had that circumstance? How do you feel when that happens? You feel disorientated, kind of wondering, what just happened to me? Why did this happen? Today I want to talk with you a little bit about what Jesus did that disorientated just affected the people around him in such a way that they couldn't understand what was happening. He didn't do things the way the world did things. In the gospel lesson, he said, "You are not my servants, you are my friends." He said, "If you want to understand me, you'll understand that a friend gives up his life for his friend." Right? He did things that the world did not understand. In John 16, a little later than what the gospel that I read, he'll say to them, "But have faith, I have overcome the world." He wants them to know that he has overcome the world and that he's going to do things that are different from the world. Yet many of us today live with an expectation that if we do this, we receive this. If we do that, we receive that. We have an expectation that if we do something, we're going to get a certain result. And yet the amazing thing about grace and love is that it's different from what we deserve, right? None of us deserves the grace that we have in Christ Jesus. None of us deserves the love that God has for us in Christ Jesus. None of us. I know you're all looking at me and saying, "Well, I know you don't." But none of us does. None of us on our own deserve the gift that the Lord gives us in his grace and his amazing love. And that's why when we read through the book of 1 John, it's similar to the Gospel of John. That's why the John 15 and the 1 John 5 are so similar. It's kind of amazing when you read them. Talking about love, because Jesus says, "I command you to love God and to love one another." And in 1 John 5, he's talking about how love overcomes all things. That we overcome the world by being different than the world because we understand the love that God has for us in Christ Jesus. I know that we started out the study of 1 John talking about light overcoming darkness. We got into 1 John, talking about, you know, when it was written, why it was written, dealing with Gnosticism and the different religious heresies that were out there. Talked about Docetism and Cerinthianism. Then we talked about the outline of the two sections of this book. We're in the world and not of it, and our life is in him who first loved us. Those are the two sections. And now we're at this amazing passage that begins. We're going to finish it off next week. It says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God." We accept that, right? Everyone who trusts that Jesus is the Christ, has been born of God, is a child of God. Born anew, born again, born from above, whatever you want to translate, John 3:16, it doesn't really, or John 3, doesn't matter. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. Right? So if we love the Father, then we're going to love his children. So loving God, loving one another. See the pattern here? Same as John 15, right? Same as what we heard from Jesus when he said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So he's basically saying there, and he's talking to us as children of God, he's saying, everyone who trusts that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. So we love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. Well, what did Jesus say in John 15, the gospel lesson I read? What was the commandment that he was given to his disciples? Love God and love one another. That's his commandment. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. I know that the confirmation class is studying the commandments right now. I know our adult Bible class was studying the commandments right now. And they can be a burden, right? If we were to be judged on how well we keep the commandments, would they not be a burden? How many of you feel they would be a burden? I think they'd be a burden. But the reason they're not burdensome is this: that Jesus kept all the commandments. And as children of God, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as people who belong to God like he belongs to God, do we have to fear them anymore? No. They're not burdensome because they don't have the same effect on us who are Christians, who are Christ followers, as they do for people who are trying to justify themselves by saying they're keeping the commandments. Because what do people who say they're keeping the commandments have to do? Work at it and prove it. Now, I want to ask you this question. How do you prove that you're keeping the commandments? Can you really keep the commandments? How many have tried? A few of us. Yep. Can we really do it? So what ways, if we thought we had to in order to keep the commandments, in order to earn our way to God, what would we have to do in order to justify ourselves? Well, several things we could do. Make excuses, yes. Aren't we good at that? We're good at that, right? We can make excuses. What other things could we do? Yeah, exactly. We could say, yeah, we're better. We could always find someone worse than us, right? Isn't that an amazing gift that God has given to us? You always find people who are worse than us, okay? So we can do that. Or we can attack the commandments and water them down. We can water them down. We can make them symbolic or just not what they say. And so, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. If you read that and you were in a mindset that I have to keep the commandments, you'd probably just dismiss this. But the reality for us as people of God, and this is why 1 John is such an impressive letter to the church, is because for us, it reminds us that they're not burdensome. Why? Because Jesus kept them. They are kept. When we fail, he forgives us. Why? Because Jesus kept the commandments. When he looks at us, he sees Jesus. Isn't that awesome? He sees Jesus. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Pistuo, the word means trust. Our trust that Jesus did indeed fulfill all the commandments, that he lived a perfect life, and that he died on the cross and shed his blood for us. For us. Not for his sin, but for our sin, right? That's why he says in John 16:33, "For I have overcome the world." Because I have done it all. I have lived the perfect life. I'm going to die. That's what he's saying to his disciples. He's going to fulfill everything so that their joy may be full. He will fulfill everything. Who is it that has overcome? Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is a question mark, but it should be an exclamation mark as well. Because who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We can't overcome the world on our own. We can't even generate these crazy responses on our own. Responses that don't make sense. Responses that disorient us. The responses that we don't expect. We can't even generate those on our own. They come from faith. They come from trust. They come from a knowledge of God. I believe, and I started the story by telling you about my boss who basically forgave me when I thought I was going to get it really bad. Well, it turns out he had done the same thing a few days earlier. I didn't know this at the time. So I was totally weird. I was just like on pins and needles for the next 2 days until I found out he'd done the same thing 2 days earlier. So you know what that's like when you've done something and you all of a sudden have an appreciation for the person who does the same thing? Well, that was why. And brothers and sisters, that's why we can overcome the world, because we know the one who overcame. We can, the closer we get to the Lord, the more time we spend with him in his word, the more time we spend in worship, the more time we spend getting to know the Lord, and the closer we get to him, the more likely we're going to respond the way he did. The more likely we're going to lead with love. The more likely that as we spend time being forgiven, the more likely we're going to forgive, right? That's why when we talk about overcoming the world, we talk about the fact that how many hours do we have in a week? Not enough. Yeah, you're right, Brian. Not enough. How many hours do we have in a week? 168 hours in a week. That means if we're just going to spend 10% of our time with the Lord, how much time is that? I know I'm challenging your math here. 16.8 hours. 16.8 hours. How many of us can honestly say, again, I'm not trying to be burdensome, and how many of us can honestly say we spend 16.8 hours with the Lord in prayer and study time? I'm not saying you have to. I'm simply saying when someone says that I'm having difficulty overcoming the world and responding as Jesus would respond, I'm going, well, how much time do you spend with the Lord? Well, I go to church for an hour and 15 minutes. Got to add the 15 there. And you go, let's see. 1.68 hours would be 1% of the time God's given you in a week. 1.6. How much is 1.68 hours for you math geniuses out there? Is it 60 minutes? 1.68 hours? I was hoping that maybe the response, pardon me? 100 minutes. Yeah, 100 minutes. Just a thought. Anyways, I'm looking at the end of service time, no. But the reason I'm saying that is because when we have overcome the world, don't we have a different way of looking at things? Don't we have a different perspective? Don't we see things differently? And we're spending time with the Lord. That's why it's so important to spend time with the Lord and his people. Because when we're here together, we can encourage one another to look at things differently, to respond differently, to see how Jesus would respond, to see how Jesus has responded to us and therefore how he wants us to respond to others. Because love has an amazing effect on the world. Today is Compassion Sunday, and I'm going to have Karen come up. Is Karen here? Yeah, there you are. And just share with you. But before she does, I just want to say, one of the reasons we support Compassion as a family, We also support World Vision. But one of the reasons we support Compassion is because we have had people give testimony. When I worked with Breakforth Ministries, and we had people come that were had gone around the world and seen the results that a little bit of money could make in a person's life. They would talk about the difference for that child from one day to the next. And Jan and I were talking about that yesterday. The difference between a child who all of a sudden gets sponsorship and is able to have food and clothing and shelter and the things that they need so that they can see Jesus as who he wants to be seen as love and grace, charity and help, hope for people who don't have hope. So who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, and one who emulates how Jesus responds, one who emulates how Jesus responded and how Jesus loves, that we give up our very life for the people whom God has called us to. May we be people who show forth love for God and for one another in such a way that we have compassion.